Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Rolling into Thursday morning. Welcome to LA Catholic Morning. Todd Sylvester is with me. I'm Ellen Taylor, Mike Romano, Rip Repole. Not to blow a surprise, but today's a blessed day.
It's a awesome day, yes. Because it is your birthday.
It is, and the true blessing.
For both you and your twin. We're going to Rickroll you. Oh, yeah. You just got Rickrolled.
All on your birthday.
Direction.
So it's a blessing because not every year I get to celebrate with my twin sister who's in the same place as me.
Nice.
So it's been a number
of
years.
Great. What are y'all going to do?
Our other sister who's visiting is cooking us a birthday dinner of steaks and a homemade. Mike, you'll like the homemade cake is going to be an almond strawberry homemade cake.
Hello. Yes, you got to bring some leftovers.
So I'm excited to go home for that.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Is this an identical twin sister?
Yes, I do have an identical twin.
How do we know that you're really Ellen right now?
Well, she's coming to the tailgate tomorrow night, so we're going to mess with folks. That's Faustin Webb. He's in studio. He's going to be our first guest in just a moment, but we'll open the day in prayer first.
Nice.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who founded all the commands of your sacred law upon love of you and of our neighbor, grant that by keeping your precepts, we may merit to attain eternal life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Looking for an adventure? Try Coastal Segway Adventures, offering kayak and paddleboard rentals for a fun-filled, hassle-free day on Lake Shelby. To make your reservation, visit CoastalSegwayAdventures.com or call 251-509-TOUR. That's 251-509-8687. Coastal Segway Adventures. Coast to Gulf, Coast Life.
And in news, Tennessee Governor Bill Lee has called for an investigation into the Vanderbilt University Medical Center after faculty comments on the lucrative nature of transgender surgeries were brought to light. Republican Representatives Chris Smith of New Jersey and Kathy McMorris Rogers of Washington introduced a bill this week aimed at protecting pro-life pregnancy centers against a surge in violent attacks. The Protect Pregnancy Care Centers Act of 2022 already has 28 co-sponsors and boasts the support of national pro-life organizations. Get this, a major gas station chain in Brazil is building chapels for the Blessed Sacrament on the country's highways to be an oasis for travelers.
I love that.
I know, that's awesome. Although it's normal for travelers to stop at a service station or gas station to fill the tank for the vehicle, eat something, or rest, the Brazil, there are some stations that have chapels where travelers can adore the Blessed Sacrament, go to confession, and attend Mass. How cool is that?
Okay, we need to do that.
No, seriously. Pope Francis has called on Christians to support communities in the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico devastated by Hurricane Fiona. The Pope expressed his solidarity with all affected by the Category 3 hurricane in a telegram sent yesterday to the bishops in the Caribbean countries. And speaking of natural disasters, a powerful earthquake with a preliminary magnitude of 6.8 struck Mexico early this morning, causing buildings to sway and leaving at least one person dead in the nation's capital. The earthquake struck shortly after 1 a.m., just 3 days after a 7.6 magnitude earthquake shook western and central Mexico, killing two. And finally, in sports, the Steelers play the Browns tonight at 7:15. And in college, West Virginia takes on Virginia Tech at 6:30. And, of course, tomorrow night, the biggest event ever, historic event between St. Michael and McGill Tulane. Pre-game 6 o'clock and a kickoff at 7.
Mike, he doesn't have hyperbole or...
No, none whatsoever.
It's football.
Yes.
It's football.
You got to understand.
Can't have too many adjectives.
Indeed. So on this incredible blessed day of Ellen's birthday, yes, we have with us in studio Faustin Weber. Before we start talking about the game tomorrow night, why don't you give us an update of what's going on there at St. Michael?
Well, we're in our seventh year, and it's hard to believe.
It really is.
You came on, and I remember that show where you're like, hey, I was the first person hired.
Yeah, I'm, it's crazy.
We're starting a
and
high school
And it was only
year.
You for a while.
Yeah, in Baldwin County.
I heard recently that the days are long, but the years are short, and it kind of makes a lot of sense.
Remember that first office that you had?
I did. It was right there on Main Street, Daphne,
and yes,
at the Mancy Building. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was crazy.
God,
wow,
man. That was crazy. And when Father Steve drove me over there, and I was like, okay, there's a tractor actually working the land. Like, I don't see construction material. I see a tractor and a crop.
It'll be fun. Diane and I, when we were trying to find the property, we drove down this dirt road, and I guessed it was the property because there's a single porta potty right there.
That was the marker. That was the marker.
They were ready for the groundbreaking.
That's got to be edifying now, though, 7 years later, to see everything that it has become.
It is.
And still, it's probably just a small part of what it will grow into, too.
Yeah, I think, you know, high schools are always becoming.
Yes.
But, you know, we're at maximum enrollment. We've got a band and choral program, which are beginning to thrive. Our athletic program's doing well, our academic program. So it seems as if it's kind of all coming together. You know, all the beginning points kind of merge together. So it's a fun time for the school.
And you've got plans, I mean, after the field house for actual fields to be put in there, right?
Right. So we've got plans for a football, soccer stadium, baseball, concessions, bathrooms, sidewalking, lights, all of those things. And then right after that, hopefully not too long after that, a chapel. So that's exciting.
Yeah, indeed.
Wow.
Has it been what you, like, had planned? Because I know you've got a vision.
If I'm being honest, it's come together faster and more quickly than I would have guessed it to become.
Right.
And that's because of the incredible support of the Baldwin Catholic community. They've adopted it. This is their school. They support it financially. They support it with their families. It's been a real blessing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember having one of those first meetings where they were trying to get people to support the school. And you know how there's one person who just looked out of place? So yeah. I thought, oh, okay, since I work at St. Lawrence and the meeting was here, I said, let me walk over and just introduce myself. And I said, oh, hi, you know. I thought, oh, you must be from Christ the King or maybe from St. Margaret or someplace where you feel a little uncomfortable. Right. And he said, well, he said immediately, I'm not Catholic.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, so do you have a grandchild who's Catholic? I was just wondering what they were doing there. And they said, no, I don't have anyone I don't think that's going to be going to the school. And I was like, okay, so what are you doing here? I mean, he seemed very benevolent and kind, so I wasn't concerned. But this is what he said. He goes, I know what kind of a positive impact this will have on Baldwin County.
That's great.
That's why I want to support it.
That's great.
And I would have to say that that's come true.
You know, we've had people that have said, we're going to relocate somewhere and we're going to send our kids to a Catholic school. So they literally get on the internet and start going to school web pages. And we have a woman who came in this year with her children. She said, I found your webpage. Loved the way you talked about your school. We looked into Fairhope. We love Fairhope. Here we are.
Where'd they come from?
Connecticut.
Come on!
Isn't that crazy?
See? Another person left Connecticut, Todd.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's just incredible.
Mm-hmm. So all good things, and leading up to tomorrow night, which has been, it's an exciting event for, I think, everybody in the community on both sides of the bay, because it might grow into a natural rivalry, but this is kind of all new for this first game.
Yeah, I think this is a super exciting moment for the Baldwin and Mobile Catholic communities. These two schools, you know, we didn't exist until 7 years ago, coming together and playing. I think the bishop is going to bring both of the teams together on the 50-yard line before the game starts and pray just to kind of celebrate our faith. You know, it'll be competitive, we hope, But before the game, we're going to remind ourselves of who we are. And I think that's fantastic for the two communities.
Mm-hmm. And you do have to kind of point out the energy that comes about when you have a coach who's a former NFL quarterback.
Yeah,
because that doesn't happen that often, mm-hmm. does it?
Yeah, we're blessed. Philip has been energetic, professional, deeply Catholic. He's a great role model for our kids, and he brings a lot of enthusiasm to these games.
And, I mean, just the plan. You know, these people are watching tape and all this kind of stuff. I mean, they've got a plan.
Oh, yeah, it's serious stuff, Todd. Yeah, it's not just high school football. It's high school football in Alabama.
Heck, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
To give you a sense of how much high school football has changed, they now video practices.
Oh, really?
And then break down tape from practices. Mm-hmm. That's how professional it's become.
Wow.
Or I might say that's how crazy it's become, right?
Well, they do say high school football is the next college football, right, Mikey?
It is.
When college gets too much like the pros, then everyone's looking. And you could see it, too, just in the culture and things like that. And the
oh, man, everybody's building these, you know, million-dollar stadiums, it seems like, video boards. That, you know, uh-huh. I mean, the whole experience, it's all catered towards the fans and you know, so
it's still pure, though.
Yeah,
I think high school is
still pure. It's kids
it's the most
going
pure
out.
Form,
really. It really is. Kids are going out and they're playing for their schools and playing for their girlfriends and they're playing for each other and their coach. And it's a wonderful thing. Not just football, but, you know, all those sports.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be exciting tomorrow night. I expect a big crowd from both sides of the bay to gather tomorrow and to cheer loudly for their teams. And it's going to be cool that it's at the Lip in McGill, so it's going to be a great venue.
See, I remember when the Lip was being built. I mean, I've been around for so long because...
Yeah, the Ark was built, too, while you were here.
Ah, happy birthday.
I know, I could say all the jokes on my birthday because I get away with it.
Because, you know, going down to... What's the stadium that they used to play at?
Ladd Stadium.
Going down to Ladd, it was... It just wasn't your house.
That's right. Yeah.
And quite frankly, it was too big.
Yeah.
Because even if you had a lot of fans, there was a lot of empty seats.
Right. That's right. I think the Lip will be crowded. I would be disappointed if we don't overflow the visitor side tomorrow night. I think we will. And it should be fun.
If it's any indication, we went up to Montgomery, the first game of the year, to cover the McGill Tulane Montgomery Catholic game. And that was standing room only, six people deep, stands overflowing, everyone standing, you know, all the way around the edges. So, and it really was a good turnout of the whole Catholic community up in Montgomery to see that game. So.
I think tomorrow night's going to be the same way. So
yeah.
Exciting.
I'm also excited that it's not the first game because now everybody's kind of gotten their legs.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to get a better team to play on both sides.
Yeah, so McGill's won their last two, I think. So they're 2-2. We're 3-2. So big game for both of us. And we're clearly let me just go ahead and do some hype here. We're clearly the underdog. We're playing a 6A program that's established, former state champions. McGill's got a great tradition, and we're up and coming, we think. We want to give McGill a good game, but we know that they're the favorites, and our players know that. So they're kind of amped up for that challenge.
Because you always want to take down the older brother.
Sure.
No, I was going to say Mikey knows about being underdogs, right? Alabama fan.
happy birthday.
Well, you know, we know this is a great game, great opportunity for both programs to sort of, you know, come together and create a lot of history that they have together. All right.
Yeah, that's good. That's
now,
good.
There is the plan to eventually build your own stadium, right?
There is. So it's just a tough time to build anything. Inflation being what it is, cost being what it is. So we have a plan to build a football and soccer stadium, dual-use facility. We'd be a little bit further along if the costs weren't so high right now, so we're just going to have to regroup and raise more money, I think, in order to finish out that plan.
I think the big blessing, and one I hear quite frequently from people over in Mobile, is the fact that you were able to secure so much land.
Right.
Because they're... You know, so many of those places are landlocked,
right.
And they would have to tear down houses to be able to expand anything. And you're like, with a swoop of a hand, hey, let's just grab another 40 acres.
Yeah,
exactly what we did. So we're an 80-acre campus now, so we got all kinds of room to expand. We just have to raise the money to do that.
And you can see with just the growth in Baldwin County that there will be a need and a demand to grow the school eventually and stuff. But you got to do it in stages. Like you say, you can't take out the wallet and start paying for everything.
Right. In fact, part of the motivation to get that land is we were pretty convinced it was going to become houses if we didn't, you know.
So oh, yeah.
That's the state of Baldwin County right now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Indeed. So well, I don't know if you want to talk about the fact that in less than a month you're heading to another state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I've been at St. Michael now. This is my eighth year and turned 60 in June. And so, you know, there's always personal and professional reasons, but you're going to be closer to our children, my daughter and her four girls in Plano. They live in North Dallas, so we'll be very close to them. And I'm going to become the president of Prince of Peace Catholic School. So
congratulations.
That's a big elementary school, about 780. And I'll miss this place. I'll miss St. Michael. I'm proud of the school that we've all built together. But, you know, God has plans, and we're trying to follow him.
You will be dearly missed.
Thank
but
you.
What I'm picturing is you taking your grandchildren out for ice cream.
Well, there you go.
That's what I'm picturing. Which I'm sure, I mean, how frequently do you get to see them now?
Not enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, indeed. You know, I remember having a job offer to go elsewhere, and my wife said, you can't even consider this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not even something that I want to talk about because of our grandchildren. Yeah. That was the reason.
Yeah,
she goes,
sure.
We get to see them twice a week.
Sure.
We would see them maybe twice a year.
That's right.
That changes things.
It does. So I wanted to say before I left, thank you guys for your support of St. Michael. Thank you for your support of the two football programs at our school. You guys do a great job with that. I understand we're having two broadcasts of the game tomorrow night.
Yes, because, you know, which Homer broadcast do you want to listen to if you're a St. Michael fan? We got the St. Michael broadcast team. And
okay,
if you're a McGill
funny.
Fan, yes.
That's really funny that
I
you
know.
Guys are doing that.
Well, what am I going to do? Bench one of the broadcast teams?
That's good politics right there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Excellent leadership on your part.
The best of
Can we track to see which one gets more listenership tomorrow?
Yes, they can, as a matter of fact.
That'd be cool.
We will
That'll
be doing...
That'll be the battle
behind
I want
to see the ratings. Yeah, I want to see the ratings.
From 6 to 6:30, we're going to be doing a joint pregame show under the tents at the tailgate. So get there early. We're going to be broadcasting live from there with both the broadcast teams.
Yeah.
And then at 6:30, they'll split, like the teams going back to their locker rooms to regroup each in their own broadcast area. And then we'll do an individual pregame for each team.
Rip and I will start it off here, and then Tony will start it off, do the pregame for St.
Michael. Yes.
That's hilarious.
Yes.
Now, I'm laying down this smack for the next year, right?
Okay.
So they're the home team, so they get broadcast on the AM radio, right?
Oh, yes.
And we're on the internet channel, is that right?
We like to call it the St. Michael channel.
Next year, when we're the home team, we should be on the main channel.
Oh, okay.
See,
that
see
will be duly
that?
Noted as a takeaway
from
this
game. We'll have to train, you know, Tom and Pat on how to handle the equipment.
Can you see them?
We'll have to switch.
You forget how much of a diva team is it.
Oh!
St. Michael broadcast.
Happy birthday, Ellen!
Yeah.
You hear that?
She's
allowed to say anything she wants today.
It's my birthday.
We got on the pregame, I think it was last Friday, and Rob's like, "Where's the bag of candy? Where's the bag of candy? She forgot the bag."
See, I miss one game because I have a family obligation, and they're texting me.
Oh yeah.
Ellen, there's no water. You didn't send water in the candy bag. What are we supposed to do?
So we're talking about my brother-in-law. Right?
Yes, your brother-in-law. This is why we can do this.
Wow.
That escalated quickly.
I know. They're all good guys. I enjoy working with all of them. And so it'll be interesting because the beauty of high school and broadcasting Catholic high school football is that they're kind. They're not like some of these college announcers that Mike and I always crack up about. But they really support the students and what they're doing and the players and the coaches. And the one thing we do is we don't try to tear down like, oh, that was a bad play.
Right.
You try to lift up. And
I think
so
both crews
good.
Are doing a great job. I think, you know, my brother-in-law, Tom, is an excellent play-by-play.
Oh, yeah, he is.
It's fun to listen to the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I'm away, I listen. So
and
there was even the time that they were at the state championship. and I was watching it on television, but I didn't like the people that were broadcasting, the professionals. So I turned the volume to zero, put the app on, and I listened to the broadcast team for Mark Angel.
Which is great as long as the play syncs.
That's always the challenge, just with different technical connections. One might be ahead or behind. Boston
Thank
weather.
You, guys. It's going to be fun. See you all tomorrow night.
See you tomorrow night.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I'm excited now. Michael
Pakalik.
I was going to get it out. Of Feasts and Families. We're going to discuss that next on LA Catholic Morning. Stay with us.
Home is where the heart is, and my heart lives by the bay. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay. And as long as we keep on giving,
one of the best 80s shows ever.
All the time, we got each other, sharing the laughter and love.
Oh, boy.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Arc Ninja Radio. Todd Sylvester here with Ellen Taylor on her birthday.
Yes.
Mike the Great's producing like a boss over there. Richard's doing his thing. Mm-hmm. On the line, regular guest, Michael Pakalik. He is professor at Catholic University in the business school there. And he writes often for The Catholic Thing. If you go to thecatholicthing.org, of feasts and families. Good morning, Michael.
Hey. Good morning, Todd.
So I get my emails first thing in the morning, and I check them, and it's always one of them is from the Catholic Thing, and I love when I see your name because it's like, oh, I know him, and I love reading your articles. But when I started reading this one, I was a little uncomfortable right from the get-go.
Really?
Well, because you pointed out the fact that this parable here in Luke's Gospel, you're right. We have gatherings at our home all the time. And I never invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. I just don't. So therefore, when you're like, it's universally, you know, ignored, I'm like, oh my Lord, I'm in trouble. Right, Michael?
Well, it's even worse than that, because if you look carefully at the Greek, what it says is not once in a while do this. Like, if this is a good idea to do symbolically, like maybe a Thanksgiving at your rectory or something like that. It's whenever you give a feast. So it's without exception, your feast should be for the crippled and the lame and the poor and so on.
Well, fortunately, I continued to read your article, and you kind of had a different perspective.
Range you back in.
And explain it, so then I didn't feel so bad. Can you explain that to all of us?
Well, also, let's get clear that the word feast just means reception, literally, in Greek. So it means any kind of gathering where you invite people. So, you know, drinks before, a lecture, of course, a wedding reception, any kind of gathering where people are invited. So I began, I'm reading Adam Smith again, Wealth of Nations, reading it cover to cover. And he has an interesting discussion of the practice of feasts. So he points out that wealthy people all the time throughout history are cited for giving feasts. You know, there's Herod's feasts and so on. And it's because their surplus wealth had no other use. Mm. So in an economy where there's not a lot of manufacturing and there's not a lot of trade and not a lot of international trade, if you have excess wealth, what you do is you support dozens or even hundreds of people in your retinue by giving almost daily feasts, and they become dependent upon you, and they become kind of like a little army of supporters. Mm-hmm. And Adam Smith linked this to a real absence of freedom in a society, because you have kind of the lord of the manor who's the local powerful guy, and he's also got hundreds of people who depend on him for, you know, daily sustenance who are loyal supporters, and you're kind of in trouble. So Smith points out that all of this went away with the rise of manufacture, because wealthy people then wanted to buy things. His example is like a buckle with a diamond in it. Now this is, you know, instead of spending it on feasts or spending on things like this, Smith says it doesn't necessarily mean fewer people are supported, because, you know, there's a wide network of people who are doing the silver and the diamond and the manufacturing, the design and so on. But they're not all grouped together, and they're not all dependent upon this single purchaser, because a lot of people are buying these diamond buckles all around the world. So it's a total change in society. So if this is correct, and I think Smith is correct, then the meaning of feasts for Jesus is use of surplus wealth. And it's a teaching about almsgiving. Surplus wealth should be given to people who can't pay you back rather than being used for people who can pay you back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you use your surplus wealth for almsgiving.
So don't you have to have surplus wealth to even start with, Michael?
Yeah. And, you know, well, in the church, surplus wealth, you know, there's just subsistence getting by, and then there's convenience. And then there's, you might want to say, fancy. And the church has always taught that for kind of standard almsgiving, it's that third area, which is kind of should be kind of put totally at the use of the poor. And, you know, there's no objection to maintaining a standard of living that's kind of common and expected for your state and area and so on. So it's not that you find the barest. It's probably about, you know, $15,000 a year. Somebody could just get by on rice and beans and living in the smallest apartment and so on. It's you know, it's a little bit different from that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the nature of the teaching. Now, you know, what I also said in this article is that it's interesting that a certain royalty actually took our Lord, you know, literally true, and they swapped out their retinue of people. They were, you know, the noblemen and so on they were supporting by feasts and just brought in poor people. So St. Elizabeth of Hungary is famous for doing this, and St. Margaret of Scotland. They built so-called hospitals right next to their palaces, and instead of supporting a whole bunch of rich people or flatterers, they supported poor people.
Yeah.
They're famous for that. And then I ask the final part of the article is, well, is there anyone else like this in history, or this still survive? And I said, yeah, I mean, I use large families because it's clearest, but, you know, if you're having a large family, you're generously accepting children, you have around your table, and you're supporting them on a daily basis, people who cannot pay you back. They have no wealth, right? And if they grow up and they're raised properly, they're going to have their own children. So that would be their primary way of showing gratitude to you, is by actually doing what you did for the next generation. Of course, they'll support you, or they should in your old age. That's honor your mother and your father. But so it's, you know, it's kind of, you know, just raising children. We have declining population all around us. It's kind of spurned, frankly, even in Catholic culture in the United States. It's, well, that's selfish. You're having children. You're advancing. You're actualizing yourself or something. But I think we have to return to the Christian idea that it's actually kind of almsgiving to raise children.
I was so glad that you pointed that out, Michael, because I've tried to have this conversation with people that think, oh, you had all these kids so that they can take care of you when they're older. And I'm like, well, if you notice, they all work for the church. None of them are going to be able to take care of me. And I didn't have them so that it would help me. I had them so that they would have each other. Does that make sense, Michael?
Of course. Yeah, perfect sense. Yeah.
They all do things like this Saturday. I'm doing a brake job on my daughter's car.
Ah, lucky
you. You know,
yeah.
So I mean, there's always something. Always something.
Yeah.
I think that idea, too, the culture has flipped that on its head of having families, even just normal-sized family. What we would consider in Catholic circles, small family, three kids. Oh, you're having three? That's more than the 2.1, the average is. Like, culture has completely flipped that on its head, too. And rather than looking as you're caring and this idea of a feast and bringing together those that cannot repay you, as in children, too, for many years, the whole culture looks at that as a complete burden and a use of resources rather than a generous Christian way of living. And that is that's kind of pathetic.
Yeah, it's kind of hypocrisy because, you know, what people often say is, well, you brought them into existence. You're responsible for them. And that's tough luck, buddy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's a kind of culture of death because you could just, you know, say, well, you know, what about poor people? Why are they in existence? So they're brought into existence. You know, tough luck, poor people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's not the way we should look at any existing human being.
It is sobering, though, to kind of remind ourselves about
our resources and what we have and try to keep that in perspective. Our house recently got struck by lightning, so a bunch of stuff got destroyed.
Right.
And trying to explain to my children, because they're like, well, Dad, just go and buy two new televisions. And I'm like, well, A, we can't afford that, and B, should we?
Yeah.
You know, they were all upset. Oh, the gaming systems are fried. And I'm sitting there going, Michael, well, thank God.
Yes, right, there we are. Well, they're a divine solution from heaven right there. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you know, it's interesting. We probably should all be tightening our belt a little bit more and giving more way to the poor. But, you know, another thing, let's be understanding towards typical American. We have a tax burden. I think we discussed this on an earlier show. Basically, 50% of people's earnings are grabbed by one taxing authority or another. And it's, you know, it's not a good system. It's far more being taken by the government and its bloatedness and its incompetence than in almost any society that's ever existed.
I think, Michael, too, the feast of the old days where the benevolent and the wealthy provided in the first step from the wealthy to the poor right in front of them at the feast having dinner,
yeah.
That was a very human connection. Of seeing your sacrifices or gifts working and right in front of
you.
Now we've got so many layers, and you infer that with the taxation. There's so many layers to where you are supposedly, and I say this air quotes, helping people. You don't really know if you are or not. And it takes that either personal connection about caring for each other out of the equation. You write a check, even if you're able, but it doesn't have that personal impact, and I think that is really lost in how we care for each other.
Personal impact, but also priorities, because the soul is more important than the body. So if you just give indiscriminately to serve bodily needs without paying any attention to the soul, you could actually be doing harm to somebody. I mean, it's just like the problem of just giving money to somebody on the street. It could be a drug addict, alcoholic, somebody's mentally. It's not clear you're actually doing any good for this person if you just hand them some money. Probably in most cases you're not. So, but our government, wealth transfer has basically on principle become morally neutral, right? That's regarded as government's role is to be morally neutral. So I would say from an ethical point of view, it's not simply impersonal. It's actually completely abstracting from the moral side of things. So you have, you know, deadbeat dads, and you have multiple fathers having children with multiple women. And, you know, this is happening all around the country. If you look at when the dispute over Social Security, when it was first instituted in the 30s, it was, well, can this be done morally without undermining families? That concern's been completely lost.
Mm. Yeah, that one's not even brought up anymore. We're speaking with Michael Pollack on his article in thecatholicthing.org, and you can check it out there, of feasts and families. We've lost, and you're right, we don't ask those moral questions about things that we do in culture and society anymore, because in many ways, government has put their hand in and said they're going to navigate this on your behalf. And it becomes bloated. It becomes less efficient in many ways. And we're not teaching each other to have those moral principles of caring for each other. I think that is really lost in their haste to have a morally neutral society.
Yeah, absolutely. There's an interesting article. I don't know how much more time we have to discuss this, but if people are subscribed to the Wall Street Journal, they can do a search on an article that Phil Graham had in the Journal a couple of weeks ago about how the bottom two quintiles in the United States have roughly the same income. A household income is somewhere around $50,000 per household. But for the bottom quintile, most of that is coming from federal grants, welfare grants. For the second quintile up, most of that is coming from labor. So they have the same income, but one working, one not working. And the title of the article is "The Problem in Our Society is Not Inequality, It's Equality." You have equality of people, some who are working and some who are not working. I think that's a serious problem. I don't think that's social justice. That's not social justice.
And it just creates a weird paradigm. I mean, that's not comfortable for anyone. You can't feel good about that.
No.
I hated even, you know, when they had those pandemic payments.
And some people were like, oh, I'm just going to bank it. And I'm like, no. I mean, the whole point that they're trying to give the money. Now, I know some people were like, well, I'm just going to give it back or I'm going to give it away. I didn't feel that compelled. Mm-hmm. But I was like, at least I'm going to spend it on stuff to try to help the economy. You know, I went and bought building materials and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, I was just trying to beef up the economy a little bit because nobody was doing anything with nobody was going out. And
I felt uncomfortable
though, uh-huh. Michael. I felt really weirdly uncomfortable that money just showed up in my bank account, and I was like, I didn't do anything for that. You know what I mean?
You shouldn't want to get something for nothing. I teach my students one of the definitions of greed is wanting to get something for nothing. Mm-hmm. And you kind of find this reflected in the kind of the old school. My grandparents were peasants. They're potato farmers from Ukraine and Poland. They would regard it as shameful to receive any kind of handout from the government. They didn't want to. I suppose in necessity they had to. But that's getting something for nothing. Mm-hmm.
I think, true, that used to be the attitude of a lot of poor people. You still had pride, not the evil kind, but a sense of, I'm not going to take something from somebody in even worse shape.
Especially when you're able-bodied.
Yeah, and that seems to have gone by the wayside. Everyone now is like, what can I sign up and get for free? Or how can I game the system to get this for me? Go ahead.
And look, be naive. It was just as, you know, the times of feasting, the noblemen wanted to support all these people because they liked their kind of political and strength support. Wall Street Journal had an article yesterday about, well, Biden has declared the pandemic is over. Why hasn't he also ended the state of national emergency over COVID? And the reason is that their state of national emergency enables him to increase the welfare payments. So welfare payments are much higher now under some kind of special provision for a national emergency. And he doesn't want to roll those back before election day. Mm-hmm. So let's not be silly about this. This is not some kind of disinterested social justice. This is politicians buying votes. It's exactly like the feast system of the Middle Ages.
But that isn't justice. Yeah. When I was in college, there was a place called the Projects that they said you can't go in. It's not safe. Mm-hmm. But I thought, okay, it's 11 o'clock in the morning. I'm just going for a jog. I can jog through there. And I jogged through. And Michael, everyone was home.
Yeah.
It was 11 o'clock in the morning. Everyone's sitting out in these little plastic chairs, staring at me, saying, you know, thinking, what are you doing here? And I'm looking, going, what are you doing here? Why is no one at work?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it removes incentives for work. So that's also suspended during national emergency, a work requirement for wealth transfers. So how does that help us? It doesn't help us at all. It doesn't help us to have one-fifth of our economy basically not being productive because they're getting handouts from the government. Now, you know, then we have disastrous educational system, which isn't really educating. Our government schools are horrible. But we have to try to reform this. It's certainly not social justice.
Yeah. And it's sadly, it's eating away at the soul of our culture. And we really do need to readdress it before just things, well, I was going to say get out of control, but we might be there already.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. So let's be honest about all of this stuff and not pie in the sky.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Michael Bukalik, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for the great writing you do and the teaching that you do as well.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Happy birthday again.
Thank you. Birthday,
you just got a happy birthday from Michael Bukalik.
Well, see if my friend Rob Herbst comes in with a birthday greeting, or maybe a present will arrive later today.
Well, maybe if you get some chocolate.
Chocolate, yeah. Yes. He's Rob Herbst, editor of the Catholic Week, is joining us next on LA Catholic Morning.
If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay. Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true. I am happy to be stuck with you. Yes, it's true.
Never ever go wrong with a little Huey Lewis in the News.
I love Huey Lewis in the News.
Well, that's why we did it, because it's your birthday.
I heard he has Meniere's disease and he can't sing anymore.
Oh,
yeah. Isn't that? I love his voice. Yeah.
I know, me too.
Uh-huh. Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning on Ellen's birthday.
Yes.
It's a big day.
The parade is coming through right when the show ends, right?
Woohoo! We're happy to be stuck with
Pony
you,
Rides.
Ellen Taylor.
Pony Rides! So
yes! Always look forward to when Rob Herbst, editor of the Catholic Week, comes on. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, y'all, and happy birthday to Ellen.
Thank you. I'll expect the big present will be rolled in tomorrow at the tailgate party for me.
Well, we got a present for Kathleen, but, just how we roll.
Our presence is your present.
That's so late.
Yeah, that's
sweet.
That's good. Before we dive into what's in the upcoming Catholic Week, you wanted to talk about Catholic dating in the modern world?
Yeah, maybe Mike should have played Huey Lewis's The Power of Love or something as the intro.
Go.
So, I always look for Catholic entertainment, so to speak, you know, ways to laugh. And so, especially with our faith, but still taking it seriously. So a Los Angeles-based Catholic screenwriter, Aaron Dooley, has begun a podcast, a 7-episode podcast entitled It Confessions of a Catholic Single, and the challenges of dating in this world today, being a practicing Catholic. So, it introduces the trials and triumphs of Cecilia, a devout Catholic widow looking to dip her toe into the dating world in Las Vegas.
Doesn't sound like that's fertile ground there.
Well, that's not.
Yeah,
it's entertaining.
Entertaining. Exactly. So it's entertaining, but also discusses the challenges. And she describes that there's a lot of bad behavior that gets accepted in the dating culture, and hopefully people laughing at it will help them realize what they should not tolerate or do, as the case may be. Mm-hmm. And we as Catholics should see others as children of God and treat them as such, but our behavior while dating and in marriage ought to be modeled after how Jesus taught us to be. So, pretty interesting. 7 episodes. She wanted to get it on TV. That's a challenge in terms of budget reasons and et cetera, et cetera. So if you need something to laugh at, I don't want to compete against Archangel Radio here. It's only 10 minutes. So, it's on YouTube and other podcast platforms. Confessions of a Catholic Single.
But she probably, recounts her date every week on, oh, this one was bad. This one had
Well, I did listen to the first episode.
Yeah.
So it had the speed dating.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I had a friend that told me about that experience.
Catholic.
Because I'm one
dating?
Of the old school people that I met my wife in college, you know, like the olden days.
Like the old days.
We got
married
at 22, which now when I have kids that are that age, I'm thinking there's no way that I would want them to get married that young.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We got married and that's all we knew. Like I don't remember a life not married now. I mean, that's just life that way. So this person that is a friend of mine was in their 30s and they went to a speed dating. Uh-huh. And if you don't know what that is, you go into a room, they've got all these places to sit down, and you're sitting across from another person, and you've got like, I don't know, 60 seconds?
No, I think it's longer than that, a couple minutes.
Oh, okay, a couple minutes, but then they ring a bell, and then you get up and you move over one, and then you're sitting in front of the next person that you don't know, and you're trying to engage in conversation, and it is hilarious and kind of depressing all at the same time, Rob.
I can't say I ever tried the speed dating before Mary, and that's not how I met Mary. But, yeah, I mean, like, if you're in a market, especially, you know, like Las Vegas or this writer's based in Los Angeles, you know, and where the faith is not all that, you know, it's got to be tough.
Yeah,
so, So, Confessions of a Catholic Single. There you go. 7 episodes.
Oh, great.
I'm your YouTube.
So,
that was a ringing endorsement.
I know, right. Well, we'll have to check it out. So, the Catholic Week is coming out tomorrow. What do you got for us?
So, our lead story, we had the Archdiocese of Mobile's Respect Life Dinner was last week. And Lauren Alley of Vagabond Missions was the speaker. And did an awesome job, and this dinner was aimed to trying to broaden the pro-life spectrum, the broad pro-life spotlight, if you say. And obviously, abortion was talked about and discussed, but there were other ministries there that you would constitute as pro-life ministries that don't center on abortion. So it's really a great event at Corpus Christi Parish. Read what Lauren Alley had to say, and all about trying to broaden that pro-life spectrum and respecting all human life. So good stuff there.
Fantastic.
All right.
Yep.
What else we got?
So you may know about the Alabama Opportunity Scholarship Fund. Superintendent of Catholic Schools here, Gwen Bird, discusses how you can provide the gift of Catholic education and writes about that program. So some info there for you. We also had the annual Blue Mass returned this year. This was Friday, September 9th. As first responders were recognized and honored, and we prayed for them at the cathedral. Always a wonderful event. And fifth graders from the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese also attend. So good stuff there.
Nice.
And just as a side note, the annual Red Mass for those in the legal profession is October 7th at the cathedral, Friday, October 7th. And the White Mass for those in the medical profession is the Vigil Mass at the Cathedral on 4:30 Saturday, October 15th. So,
cool.
We had highlighted the life of Father Philip McKenna in our previous paper, but the Mass Christian burial was after deadline, so we have photos there. What a wonderful life! What a wonderful priest Father McKenna was.
Amen.
So, and then. Don't know if you've seen the story of Sister Sue Ellen Tennyson of New Orleans. She had been a missionary in West Africa, in Burkina Faso, and she was kidnapped in April, was finally released unharmed in August, and she's back home now in New Orleans, and she describes her experience and how she's filled with gratitude. Really amazing story.
I do remember that because we have friends, of course, and family in New Orleans, and they immediately talked to us about that and asked us for prayer support and all that stuff. And I thought, this is the stuff of movies. Like, this doesn't really happen in real life, right, Rob? Mm-hmm.
Yep, exactly. She was, you know, in her residence there. It was like at a medical missionary facility there, and kidnapped at night, blindfolded, was put on a motorcycle, and and she is not young by any means either. So for her to survive this from April to August, I mean, it's crazy. It's amazing. It is a lot of things, but and she's filled with gratitude. Amazing story. God bless her and what she's done and what she went through. So,
amen.
Our columnists are back. Archbishop Brody discusses the release of the National Synod Summary. You can find the entire summary at usccb.org. As you know, the Synod, the Vatican wanted feedback from across the world on synodality, and the Archdiocese had a questionnaire for people to be able to fill out. So those answers went to the USCCB, and they compiled summary of all the responses. It's also broken down by regions. So if you want to check that out, usccb.org, and Archbishop tries to summarize it, what it said in his column. Pat Ahrensberg is back on So Be Perfect, Just As Your Heavenly Father Is Perfect. And Shannon Rowe on Prayer Being the Foundation of Being a Good Steward. And then our national columnists are back, Bishop Barron on Queen Elizabeth at being a faithful disciple, and Sister Constance Little Sisters on Robert Browning, John Lennon, and Pope Francis and what they had in common.
Yes, you got to wait and read the article.
Okay,
Todd.
Now I'm really intrigued. Now you got me. Right, the last thing you're talking about is the hook.
He buried the lead.
I'm like, wait a minute, what?
You're going to have to run to that mailbox to read about Robert
Browning.
Oh, I will.
I'll be going directly to that column.
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding. So there you go. There's your Catholic Week.
And we will see you tomorrow night doing stats. Are you going to make any bold predictions here on the air?
You think I'm crazy enough to make predictions? I'm just a
that's a setup. She's doing whatever she wants on her birthday.
Yes.
It's my birthday.
It's Thursday, Ellen's birthday.
The picks are for Pat. That's why he has
He's a professional picker.
So we'll
picker.
Ask him.
He's going to have to
But the stat guy knows stuff.
I saw the stat report. He always sends it out, what'd you send it out, yesterday?
Yes.
I didn't really read it. I just read your comments about ice cream or something in there. He goes off, the rails.
I just want to see if y'all are reading.
I read it. Well, not the actual stats, because I just wait for you to give me the summary. That's why you're the stat guy.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So.
Indeed.
Yeah. But no, I'm not making predictions. So.
Okay.
Too funny. Looking forward to it, Rob. It's going to be a great game.
Yep. It will be neat to see both teams there on the same field. That'll be some cool stuff.
Now, how are you going to take photos for the Catholic Week when you are going to be in the Archangel Radio booth?
Oh, Ellen, you bring this up now. So, yeah.
Oh, look at it. He's stalling. He's going to try to come up with some way.
And I'm out of time.
Yeah, exactly.
Bob Herbst, thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks, y'all.
Yeah. We thank our sponsor, Spring Hill College, making their students real world ready. Spring Hill College, one of the most affordable Jesuit Catholic colleges in the country. See all Spring Hill has to offer at shc.edu. Mikey, what's up tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow, Tom McDonald previews seasons 1 and 2 of Picard. Dr. Chris Shannon continues our series on his book, American Pilgrimage. And Father Mateusz Rudzik will provide Sunday Gospel Reflection.
All right, so what else is happening for the birthday? Are you guys like going to the spa, getting massages?
I'm working because we got a big weekend. We've got the game Friday night. At midnight, we come back and we start breaking down the studio to put in the new equipment over the weekend.
Awesome. That's going to be super.
No more calling on my cell phone.
Everyone needs to pray that it goes well.
Yes, it'll be nice.
It'll go smoothly. We've got it just worked out that way.
Yeah, it'll be a birthday present.
Thank you.
Hope everybody has a fantastic day. Let's be the light unto the world. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless you all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.